or God created you to be a female. That third one doesn't exist, right? Even if you're somebody who needs wheelchair help, you're still either a male or a female, right? So I just want to get that clear. Sometimes you assume that people know that is the position as well, Florence Baptist Church. If you come join to be part of this church, you understand this is what we believe. Amen. We believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says that God created male and female. Right? So that's just for that, just by really getting to it. It's really more of an introduction to help us understand how we got to where we are, so we can help us biblically to understand who we are. Number one, we'd like to talk about our identity as a Christian, or identity in Christ. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Right? So, that is who we are in Christ. Now, what we read here along with that in Ephesians chapter 2, I like where the Bible says we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. So, when you received Christ, I want you to know that, spiritually speaking, you became a new creature. I was talking to Sister Teresa a little bit before the service, and she said, "Pastor, I really feel like a whole new woman." Amen? And that's what happens when you get an identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens when we get saved, when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. Of course, I'm proud to say she was one of the ones that came forward today for believers' baptism. And I really love what God is doing in their family. Amen. And if you look at it, spiritually speaking, their identity has changed now. Okay? It's important to understand who we are in Christ. We are, according to the Scripture, His workmanship. And when we think about His workmanship, we think about something that a person, and the meaning of that is something that is made with skill or with craft. And I can't hardly believe, you know, I'm kind of like the David says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but then he also said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And I'm amazed that the Bible says that we are His workmanship, that we are His skill or His craft that He has created. I look at myself and I say, "Lord, I'm not sure what it is special about me." But yet that's what God says that we are. That's who we are in Christ. It's something special that God has created. Say, why are we emphasizing? Because we're living in a world today that would have you believe that you don't matter. That your identity doesn't matter. That you aren't special. Friend, you're special because God created you in the exact way that you are. Maybe you were born with a physical condition. I want you to know that God created you exactly how you are. And if nobody's told you any recently that anybody loves you, I want to tell you God loves you. And you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So the first thing that's important for us to know and understand is our identity in Christ according to the Word of God. Now, if you look at some of the other scriptures that we read, there's some things also that I think that we should not forget. In verse 11 it says, "Wherefore, remember." The Bible is emphasizing to remember something. That means that we ought to not forget who we were. So, if we're talking about who we are now in Christ, "that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands." Verse 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ." So, it's referring back to remembering who we were when we were not Christians. We were not in Christ. And watch what it says. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world." That's a pretty sad state to be in. Amen? That's a dark place to be in. It's referring to the time before you were not saved. That's who you were before. Your identity before, well, as a person without Christ, is being lost without Christ. Or sometimes we refer to as lost on our way to hell. Friend, that's the truth. That's a reality. We've been studying in our class about our relationship now in Christ Jesus. And friend, it's important to remember where God brought us from. If you really understand who you are, it's also important to understand where God brought you from. And sometimes I think we forget who we were until God saved us. Amen? Can you imagine where you'd be at today if Christ had not saved your soul? Can you imagine what you'd be into today? Can you imagine? I mean, you would have no desire to be in church on a Sunday night if you hadn't received Jesus as your personal Savior. What would be the desire? Now, sometimes people show up, and sometimes people come out of curiosity. Sometimes people come maybe because of a tragic event in their life. But friend, you've become faithful to the house of God. And just think about where you would be before on a Sunday. Maybe you'd be home watching a football game, right? Why would you want to be home watching a football game when we can come and get a feeding of the Word of God? Amen? I'd much rather come to the house of God and get a feed. You could be at a bar somewhere drinking your life away. Like that solves problems, right? To forget about your problems for a temporary short time, only for there to be bigger problems when you come out of that thing, right? I'm just telling you, remember who you were without Christ. This is who we are now with the Lord. It says in verse number 10, I like this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Go on down with me if you would in verse number 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and in the household of God. I had a message that I preached several years ago entitled, I Used to Be an Illegal Alien. I used to be an illegal alien. And sometimes people at first that they think, what in the world is he talking about? Amen. First of all, I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, so don't get confused about that. Okay, that's not what I was talking about. I used to be an illegal. I'm talking about the time that I was without Christ. Amen. But now the Bible tells me in verse number 19, here's my new identity. Here's who my identity is now. I'm no more strangers and foreigners, but I'm fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know what that tells me? Not only do I have a new identity in Christ, church, but I have a new family. I have a new citizenship. I have a new future in Christ. All because of what Jesus did for me. So that helps me to understand and remember my identity in Christ and as a Christian. So the first thing it's important for us to remember on who we are, first of all, it's on our identity in Christ as a Christian, but then also like a Christian, or like Christ, I should say. You realize that when God saved us, He just didn't save us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. Amen? The intention is that we become more like Christ. Amen? Let me give you a couple of scriptures, a couple of thought on that. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, Galatians 4 and 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Amen? And in other words, until we become more like Christ. Until we be more identified more with who Christ is. Friend, it's important to know and understand that we weren't just saved just to be saved from hell. And I'm glad that you are saved. I'm glad the fact that if you're saved today, you know that you have a future in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. And he went on to describe these reasons why. He talked about the mansion. He talked about, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm thankful for that, church. But friend, Christ also saved us to be more like him, to be more Christ-like. Also like in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that the unlearned and ignorant men, that men took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. I like that part that says they had been with Jesus. You know what that tells me? That they knew there was something different about who they were. Something had changed. You ever had somebody come to you after you got saved and started to grow in the Lord and say, you know, I can't quite pin it down, but there's something different about you. And sometimes they look at your hair, they say, my goodness, what in the world's different about you? I can't quite figure it out, but something's different. You know what they're noticing? Hopefully they're noticing Christ in you. Hopefully they're noticing the Christ-likeness in you. Amen? That what's different about you is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have a group of men, but also notice it said the boldness of Peter and John. Understand, church, that they were told to preach the gospel. They were told to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet they still had boldness. That's something that you get in your relationship with the Lord as you draw closer to Christ, and you start to get a boldness to be able to declare the gospel. The theme at Leadership Conference this week was simply that, declaring the gospel. And the idea of we need to get back to declaring the gospel as we should. Amen. And sometimes we say, well, you know, Pastor, there's all kind of mandates and things like that. And I like how Pastor Chavel put it. He said, well, what about the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel? That's a biblical mandate given to you and I. And we've gotten to a place We're more concerned about worldly mandates and government mandates, and not as concerned about godly and biblical mandates today, church. They identified them as being Christ-like. They identified them as they had been with Jesus because of their boldness in declaring the gospel. We're going to have more on that later on. But I'm just pointing out the fact, friend, that that's one of the ways people identify you, by how you speak about Christ. So first of all, we're looking, church, at who we are, number one, by our identity in Christ. Second of all, let's talk for just a few moments our identity in service. Service in home, service in ministry, service to the Lord. I don't just mean one specifically, but you know, God has called us to do something, right? Let's talk for just a moment on our service in the home. Now, I'm going to talk to the men for just a minute. Amen? Let me share with you some scripture, and then we'll talk to the men for just a second. If we look in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22, starting in verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, sometimes you say, well, Pastor, most of the scripture that we read just there had to do with the wives. Well, there's a lot more. There's a lot more, but let me say a couple of things. I read a statement that D.L. Moody said, and it was so profound to me that I wrote it down. I want to share with you. He said, if I wanted to find out whether a man was a Christian, I wouldn't go to his minister. I would go ask his wife. If a man doesn't treat his wife right, I don't want to hear him talk about Christianity. Gentlemen, I don't want to hear you talk about your Christianity until you learn to treat your wife right. Getting quiet in here, fellas. I need some help. I said, I don't want to hear about your Christianity until we learn to treat our wives right. Don't come and tell me about everything that God's doing in your life until you tell me how things are going in your home. We are forgetting our identity in the home. And we say, well, Pastor, what about, bless God, all those verses that said wives submit? Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe your wives don't submit to your leadership? And also, don't misunderstand, that does not mean that she's your servant or your slave. That's not what the Bible is telling us. Well, bless God, she better have supper home when I get home. That's not what the Bible's telling us, church. We ought to have a better attitude than that, men. But maybe they're not submitting to our leadership because, first of all, we don't have leadership. Maybe they're not submitting to our leadership because we don't have spiritual leadership. Maybe they're not submitting to our leadership because we haven't done what even the Bible says to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Well, that has a lot of meaning to it. If we were to love our wives as Christ loved the church, let me remind you, friend, that actions speak louder than words. Let's not talk about all the things that we're going to do. Let's just go ahead and do it. Amen? Let's just go ahead and do it. But fellas, we have lost our identity. I mean, we are living in the home or a day where, you know, really, men have not taken their roles and responsibility. Now, if you study the Word of God, there was a period where there was judges, that there was women that stood up. I personally believe it's because there was no men that would stand up and lead. And what we need someday is we need some men of God. You think a man of God just stands behind the pulpit. No, we need some men of God in our homes today that's got a godly backbone and a boldness that are going to lead our families according to the Word of God. Friends, we're struggling with identity. They say, well, Pastor, I'm not confused about my gender. I'm glad that you're not. And for the record, let me add this. If you're confused about which bathroom you're supposed to use here, I just assume you not use our bathrooms here. Amen. I'll be fit to be tied. One of those fellas around here tried to go in the restroom after my wife or my little girl. We're going to have problems. Amen. So I'm glad you're not confused about that, and you agree with me on that. Praise God. But do you agree with me about your identity in the home? On who you as a man are supposed to be in your home. Because friend, that we're losing the battle in that area. And I don't necessarily mean just you personally. But what we're seeing today, understand that a strong church is going to be made up of strong homes. And if we don't have godly men in the home that are leading our families as the Bible says we should, then friend, if the result of it is going to be weak homes and eventually weak churches. Friend, we need to understand our role and our responsibility. With that being said, ladies, the Bible has given you a role. And I know none of us men are perfect. Amen. Us men make a lot of mistakes. We've said a lot of bad things, done a lot of bad things. We've not always acted. I understand that. And it is a true act of submission to submit to somebody who's not perfect. I get that. But nevertheless, that is what the Bible says. We should allow our husbands to lead us spiritually. Now, fellas, we ought to take the role and responsibility. We ought to be the ones to say, hey, listen, we're going to have a family altar. We're going to honor God. We're going to thank God. We're going to honor God with everything we do. But ladies, you ought to let Him lead. If God puts something on His heart to lead and it honors God, then you ought to let Him. Amen? So there's a role there as well for the ladies. There's much more, really. Lord willing, we're going to come back to some of these things and have more time on these things, but I got a lot we want to get to. So just a couple things about the men, a couple things about the ladies, the wives. And they say, man, the kids got off pretty easy. No, they didn't. Hey, we're just in the middle of the message tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So, you have a role, you have a responsibility. The Bible identifies you as a child. Say, well, Pastor, I'm 18, 19 years old. I do what I want. Are you still living at home? Just a question. Amen. Are you still living at home? Then you got some guidelines to follow.
Right.
What are those guidelines? Whatever your parents tell you to do.
Right.
Amen. Doesn't make a difference. Hey, listen. Actually, if anybody who stays in my house, there's going to be certain rules.
Right.
Say, well, Pastor, if I needed a place to stay, can I bring alcohol into your home? No. That's not something you're going to do. There's never been alcohol in our home, ever. Amen. So obviously there's some guidelines that you're going to have to live by. So if it would apply to you, if you needed a place to stay, why wouldn't it apply to our children, no matter how old they are? Friend, the Bible does say, hey, listen, it's still honorable to honor your parents. It still pleases God when you obey your parents. And you know, we could talk a lot about that. Sometimes we say, well, you know, my kids are obedient eventually. Let me make a statement. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. So what's delayed obedience? Billy, clean up your room. Come back an hour later, room not clean. Billy cleaned up your room. Did Billy not hear you, or did he just choose not to do it? Listen, kids, delayed obedience is still disobedience. You know when Billy ought to clean up his room? When mom and dad said, do it. Shouldn't have to come back and say, did you not hear me? Because you know they did. They have selective hearing. Okay? If I was to say, hey, we're getting out the ice cream, let's have some. I've never had my children not hear me when I said we were having ice cream. Not one time. Isn't that amazing? But when they're in the kitchen, they throw down everything that they're doing. I mean, they're about to stop in the middle of taking a shower. It doesn't make a difference. They never misunderstand me when I say, well, let's go get some ice cream. I know they hear me. Right? And my children are like yours. They're not perfect. But the reality is, listen, children, you ought to obey your parents. And let me help us too as parents. We ought to teach our children that they need to be obedient. Right? Listen, can I tell you something? I'm just trying to help you tonight, church. It's not cute and funny when your kids back talk to you when they're little. It's not. You know why? Because if it's cute and funny, then wait till they get a little bit older. You won't think it's very cute and funny. Then it's rebellious. But friend, sin is sin. It doesn't matter how old they are. It's not cute and funny when they back talk. Well, they just got their mama's personality. Well, their mama's personality is not great. Does mama's personality honor the Lord? We're struggling, church. We need to teach our children, hey, listen, it's not cute and funny to be sassy when you're young, because, hey, you don't think it's cute and funny when they get older. And frankly, it's probably only going to get worse. Teach them now to be obedient. Amen. You know what else we're failing to do? You know, the Bible talks about correction. Talks about biblical correction. You know, hey, there's, and again, that could really be a whole mandate, or not mandate, a message on that. But, you know, the Bible speaks about that. We're losing that, church. We're losing that. There's a right way. You know, there's this magazine out there called I offended somebody preaching one time. Can you imagine that? There was this parenting magazine that I seen them talk about how great that it was. And then they came and asked me, or they say, well, Pastor, do you use parenting magazine? I said, yes. I said, what's it called? I said, it's called the Book of Proverbs. Best parenting magazine that I found. Amen. It's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. I throw in some Ephesians in there, and all kinds of good, wonderful scripture. Ephesians 13:17, can't leave that one out. Obey them that have the rule over you. Amen. That's helping understand not only should they be obedient to you, but they should be obedient to those in authority over them. If they struggle to be obedient to the authority they have now, they're going to struggle to be obedient as they grow up to the authority, any authority over them. Whether that be a teacher, whether that be a police officer. And by the way, how can we not support our officers today? God help us, church. God help us. Amen. We're seeing such a disrespect for our officers today, but yet if you have a fellow break in your house, guess who you're going to call? And you expect them, and you're going to be wondering why it's taking them so long to get you some help. My goodness, there's so much. But getting back to where we want to be, you know, children, you have a duty to honor your parents. That's your role. That's your identity as a child of God and as a children of your parents. But, you know, I've mentioned some things in our identity, in our service, in the home. There's one I don't want to leave out. That's our role as parents. Parents, we have a great responsibility that God has given us. In Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe that's true for the wife or for the ladies. There's a bunch of scripture. A child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. There's a lot of supporting scripture that we could talk about, but again, for the sake of time, we're not reading every scripture on it. What I'm saying is that I want to say this, that we have a great responsibility as parents, too, to raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It specifically is talking to fathers here, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, we shouldn't do things purposely to make our children angry. You know, when we come in and we act in such a manner, such a way, and provoke them to anger, we ought to not try to do that. You know, sometimes we get the attitude, well, you know, bless God, if they get angry, that's their fault. And I understand that. If you have a guideline or rule, sometimes that happens, but we ought to not try to do that on purpose. Amen. We ought to try to strive for a good relationship with our children. I got to move on. Let me say this, and then I'll try to get to our next thought. You know, part of the trouble that we have to do is we've lost who we are and our roles and responsibilities. Now, our children have a duty to be obedient while they're in our home, but you understand, maybe some of us older parents, that role changes when they get married, according to the Bible, right? Mark chapter 10 and verse 7. Mark chapter 10 and verse 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. You know, part of the trouble that a lot of times we see in our service to the Lord or in our role, our identity in our homes, is because parents are interfering in the marriage of their children. Now, I'm not saying parents can't help. I think that we can and we should. And there's times where we give godly counsel and advice, but let's be frank, sometimes parents just become overbearing and try to control everything in their children's lives. At some point, you have to let them grow up. At some point, you have to let them grow in the Lord. At some point, you have to let them make their own decisions. Hopefully, if we've trained them and equipped them enough in our role as parents, as they were being reared in our home, that they make the right decision. But the reality is you can't control every decision. And sometimes, mom and dads, we just need to stop interfering and let them make their decisions and deal with the consequences of their decisions. Right? So, just a thought. Again, I'm not telling you not to help your children. I'm not telling you not to give good godly counsel to your children. Just a thought. We're losing our identity in our homes. We're losing our identity even in our ministry. I probably won't have time to cover this all. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a few verses here. Starting in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized in one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it not therefore the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Let me just say real quick, folks, sometimes people struggle with their role in the church or their identity in the church or their service to the Lord because they're not something else that they wish that they were. Right? The truth is, God has not called you to do everything that I do. Right? God has not called everybody to teach a class. God's not called everybody to be a singer. Now, I think we should all sing for the Lord. Amen. But I'll be honest with you. I don't believe that God has blessed me with the talent to sing. Now, I might sing with my family every now and then. They want me to help. I may do that. But how often do you actually see me get up and say, "Hey, listen to my special," because you may not like it. And you know, maybe God's not called you to be a singer. Maybe God's not called you to be a preacher. Maybe God's not called you to be a teacher. You know, there's different roles and responsibilities. It's kind of like, you know, the ear saying, "Because I am not something else, am I not part of the..." It does not make you any less part of the body of Christ if God's not called you to what you think in your mind God should have called you to do. Right? So, just understand that as we're going along here in verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole hearing, where were the smelling?" Right? I mean, there's a purpose for each one of us in what God has called us to do. Not everybody can be the preacher. Not everybody can be the teacher. Not everybody can be the ones that make decisions, even though sometimes everybody wants to be, amen, but then not live with the consequences of those decisions, amen. It's amazing to me, now don't take this wrong, church, you know I love you, but it's amazing to me how many times people give advice on how you should pastor, but they've never pastored themselves. It's amazing how many times people say, "Well, this is what you ought to do, pastor," and they don't understand how that affects the whole church. Because generally speaking, understand that when we're praying and considering decisions, I am greatly concerned with how it affects our church. And I'm not just concerned of how it affects you. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. But, you know, sometimes folks have an idea and they get their feelings hurt because we don't use the idea. Don't take it personally, friend, because I'm not just considering what you think about it. I have to consider, first of all, what does God think about it? What does the Lord say about it? Does it line up with Scripture, and does it help meet our mission and our goal as a church? But then second of all, I have to consider how it affects the rest of the church. Amen? We have to be good stewards over what God's given us with, God's blessed us with. Hey, friend, I realize we got an old building, but God has blessed us with a good building. There's a lot of places that don't have a building. Amen? Brother Tuck, be the first. He thanks the Lord every time I see him for the AC. Hey, listen, I'm thankful for the AC, glory. This is Arizona. I'm thankful. God has blessed us with a nice place to come and worship. Aren't you glad we're not in dirt floors today? Aren't you glad? I started to say bugs, but we had a problem with that. We took care of it. But for as a general whole, there's not mosquitoes biting you and all these things crawling into the building. I realize things happen sometimes, but I'm saying in general, God has given us a great place to worship. So understand, friend, that we can't all be the decision makers. We can't all be in that role. We can't all, but it doesn't make you any less part of the body of Christ. I need my ears, you know. I need my nose. I need my eyes. They give me vision. I need my feet, you know. God, every part of the body that I have, God has given me for a purpose. Just because my pinky doesn't seem like it does a lot, God put it there for a reason. It's still part of the body that God's given me. I'm just trying to get you to understand that we all have a role, we have a duty and responsibility, and again, one of those subjects that we'll probably speak more about But I'm just showing you a few scriptures on that matter. Let's read on just a little bit more. Verse number 20, "But now they are many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head or the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, such more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." I just described about my pinky. I mean, it seems to be a feeble part of my body, but God has a purpose for it. Now, God has a reason for it. God didn't put it there, oh, well, I think that everybody should have five fingers, so I just, you know, put a tack of pinky on. No, God has a purpose for it. You know, have you noticed that and I've known people who've lost fingers, but you know, they struggle with gripping things, right? Don't they? I mean, I struggle sometimes with just the five that I got. Sometimes I thought, Lord, I could have used a couple extra hands. But then you looked at me funny when I'm preaching and waving all four of my arms, right? Lord said, you don't need that. But you know, even people, and I'm saying because sometimes people are born that way. Sometimes people have accidents. And if you notice, they struggle with that. You generally have a physical disability or something of that nature because of that. God has a plan and a purpose for that. We could say so much more, church, but we've got to move on here. We're trying to understand who we are. So we are who God created us to be, who we are in identity in Christ, who we are in our service in our home and in our church. And for the record, it was not by accident that we mentioned in our home first and then the church. There's a biblical model for that, friend. Hey, our first ministry is to our family. Our first service is to our family. I remember hearing this. I was at a wedding one time, and the pastor who was performing the wedding was really preaching a little bit, giving some good godly advice. And one of the things that he said, listen, husband and wife, the charge to the bride and the groom, he said, save your kindest words for your spouse. You know, when you think about that, it really convicted me because, you know, we're so kind when we see people at church. Boy, we turn up that smile a little bit. You know, we walk around. Oh, Brother Tuck, boy, it's such a blessing to see you. How you been, brother? Brother Tuck's been outstanding. Glory to God. Amen. Go stand outside, and if somebody says, where's Tuck? He's outstanding. Amen. Tuck is outstanding. But you know, friend, you know what would not be honorable? If I'm over here real kind to Brother Tuck, but then I come home and give my wife down the road for something less minuscule food because I'm having a bad day and I go home and take it out. I wish I could tell you I've never done that. But the truth of the matter is that if I can be kind to Brother Tuck, if I can be kind to you, we ought to be kind to our spouses. It's like something changes the moment we sit down in our car and click our seatbelts. It's like we become a different person. No, maybe that's why D.L. Moody said, if I really want to know about somebody, I go ask their wife. Right? Because you can fool me. Friend, the truth is you're not fooling your family. They are our first ministry. Let's not forget our role and our identity in the home. Last thing we want to mention tonight, we talked by way of introduction, our identity of who God created us to be, our identity in Christ, our identity in our service, in the home, in our ministry, in our church. And then last is just our identity as a church, our identity in church. Let me just say a couple things. In case you're wondering, we are an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Those are all words that describe who we are. I'm just going to take a second to talk about them for just a minute. When we say we're independent, listen, the Bible says Christ is the head of the church. It really has to do with our governing body. We don't answer to another church. We answer to the Lord. Amen. There's not a mother church over us. There's not another program or something like that. You know, we're independent in the function of our governing body, right? We answer to the church. We believe that there's two scriptural offices in the church. That's the Bible talks about the pastor and the Bible talks about deacons. Those are the scriptural, you know, offices in the church. That doesn't mean that we don't have people appointed over methods of business to help us with the church and the ministry. I see that in Acts chapter 6, but I'm just trying to tell you to understand that's who we are when we say independent. When we say we're fundamental, we're literally talking about the fundamentals of the Word of God. Amen. I've heard say before, I'm not saying it to be because I'm angry. I'm just saying because that's who we are. We preach and teach only out of the King James Bible. Amen. Listen, church, don't be offended. I'm saying this out of love. If we're ever in a service or Sunday school and we ask people to read, and we're reading something out of the King James, I'm going to kindly ask you to get something else. Okay? What you do in your home is up to you. We're going to have some more preaching and teaching on that later on. But I'm just letting you, this is just who we are. Okay? I'm not trying to hide who we are. We preach and teach only out of the King James Bible. Right? If somebody was to get up here and try to preach something out of it, something, I'd ask them to step down or I'd give them a King James Bible. Amen? That's just who we are. Okay? I'm trying to help you to understand who we are. And when I say Baptist, you know, there's a great history of Baptists. I'm not interested in taking the word Baptist off of our sign. I'm not interested in being Florence Church or Florence Christian Community or all this kind of thing. I'm proud of our Baptist heritage. I'm proud of who we are. I'm proud of the history behind that. And again, there's a whole series of lessons on that. I believe in the Baptist distinctives. Amen. One of the first ones is that we believe the Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. I mean, the Bible is the final authority. I'm not the final authority. The Word of God is. Okay? So that just tells you a little bit about who we are. And then, of course, a church. You know, the word church is an ecclesia. That is a called-out assembly. This is an assembly. This is a church. I'm also not interested in taking the word church off of our sign as well. Right? Florence really just has to do with our geographical location in this particular story. But, it could have been Grace Baptist Church. It could have been something else. It just really, that's part of just an identity for a local church. But Baptist Church, that says a lot. Amen. It says a lot. And, you know, as far as who we are, we're an independent fundamental Baptist church. I'm proud of being independent fundamental Baptist church. I'm just not angry about it. Amen. There's some folks that seem to be angry about it. I'm not. And, I've seen some places, man, that you could really... I've been all across this country. Now, I'm not here to pick on any other churches. I'm here to talk about who we are. Okay? But, you know, part of who we are as well, we have a duty and a responsibility as a church to be a lighthouse in this community. Let me share a couple things, church, because we have some more learning to do on some things. The primary purpose here at Florence Baptist Church, number one, is to help people come to know Christ. We do that in several ways, by declaring the gospel, and also through manners of soul winning, personal evangelism, outreach. Amen. We have a duty and responsibility to do that. We also have a responsibility to help teach you and equip you and train you to walk with the Lord, to do the service of God. Christ said, teaching them to observe all things. With that being said, listen, don't take this wrong. Our primary purpose is not a food bank ministry. Now, I didn't say I didn't like the food bank ministry. I think it's wonderful. But I'm not interested in doing a food bank ministry if we're not reaching people with the gospel. Amen? Otherwise, it ceases to become a ministry. Now listen, this is just a fact. If we just have a food bank ministry and we don't give the gospel, the Salvation Army can give food. There's a lot of organizations out there that give food. So we have to understand that if we're going to have a ministry, the sole purpose is to give the gospel. So if we have a food bank ministry, you know what? You ought to get a box wrapped with the gospel, amen. You know, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad that we could be a help to you. But let me tell you what you need even more than a food box. Because the truth of the matter is, friend, I realize people need food, and that's great. I'm glad that we can help. All I'm saying is that this should be number one in what we do. Can I tell you that God loves you? Can I tell you, hey, why don't you take this box, but also read this? Let me invite you to church. Hey, on the front of this track, tells you what time our church, we would love to have you come. That's who we are. We're a church. It's great to have a Christian school, but friend, understand it's the same mission, the same purpose. Now, the first thing that we want to tell our kids is how they can come to know Christ as their personal Savior. But then we want to train them, equip them, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe there's also a protection there that we're doing for our kids, sheltering them from that sign that I showed you guys earlier. Amen. Kids won't come out of Florence Baptist Academy confused about where they're supposed to go to the restroom at. Amen. So we're going to teach our kids the biblical way. But all I'm saying, friend, it doesn't matter what it is. We have to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And we have a duty to reach souls. There's going to be a lot more coming to that. Lord really spoke to our hearts on things that we need to get back to doing. And friend, we have a duty to declare the gospel to our community. Otherwise, why are we here? I purposely leave that light on the front of our church, because if somebody turns down Butte Avenue or something down toward, I want them to know, hey, there's a light on there. It's really symbolic more than anything else that, hey, this place is a lighthouse in the community. This road is very dark when you turn down here, but you know what, friend? I want them to know there's light here at Florence Baptist Church. So as long as I have control over that, I mean, if the light burns out, we'll put another one up. I want people to know in this community that Florence Baptist Church, listen, I'm glad if they know us by food bank, but I'm only mainly want them to know, hey, for those folks love me. Those folks care about my soul enough that they told me about Jesus. That's what I want people in this community to know who Florence Baptist Church is. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about something. There's really so much more that we could say. I know I didn't exhaust all the scriptures on the subjects that we spoke about, but I really just wanted to give you a overview and an understanding on who we are, who God created us to be, what our roles and our duties are in the home, what our responsibilities are, what our mission as a church ought to be. Friend, we need to understand who we are. And maybe today, friend, God spoke to you about something. Maybe it was about your role in the home. Maybe about your service to the Lord. Maybe it was about declaring the gospel. Maybe you'll leave here today and say, you know, Pastor, I'm going to start carrying some gospel tracts with me, and I'm going to start declaring everywhere I go. I want to tell people about Jesus. Friend, I've had some good ways that I've been able to talk to people. I mentioned to our class this morning, one of the ways that you can just tell people is just tell them, has anybody told you that God loves you? That Jesus loves you? What a great way. I mean, some people don't ever hear something like that. And sometimes it's like, wow, God loves me? Yeah, in fact, He loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. Can I show you for a second what the Bible says about that? Or you know something else that's been a blessing? When you get down to pray somewhere, ask the way, you know, we're about to pray. Is there something I can pray with you about? You know what you've done? You've done a service to them. You've showed care and compassion, but now you've also opened up a door. Because more often than not, they'll say, you know what? My mom's having surgery tomorrow. Would you pray for my mom? I'd be happy to. But let me also give you something else. Can I tell you how much God loves you? Friend, there's so many opportunities out there to declare the gospel, to fulfill the mission of the church, to fulfill the Great Commission. And sadly, what we're seeing today in many churches across America, and I'm talking about even Bible-believing churches, is not the Great Commission, but the Great Omission. Because we're ceasing to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe tonight you say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me, Pastor? There's some things that the Lord has helped me identify that I need to address in my personal life, my home. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Several hands went up. What about you, dear friend? Say, Pastor, pray for me. There's some things that the Lord has helped me identify. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Let me ask this, say, Pastor, if I was to die tonight, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? If I was to die today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? I want to pray for you, but ultimately we want to help you. Can we pray for you? Can we help you? Don't leave here, friend, without knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Is there anybody at all? Pastor, you were talking about your identity in Christ. I don't think I have that. Anybody at all? I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Father, thank you for allowing us to just look at the scriptures to give us an understanding on who you created us to be and what you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray that you would use this as a step forward for Florence Baptist Church, for the members of Florence Baptist Church, for our homes. Lord, that we would take the role, the responsibility, and the identity that you've given us, and that we would embrace it. God, that we would honor you with it and serve you with it. Lord, help us to be faithful in fulfilling the Great Commission. And Lord, you greatly spoke to our heart about some needs in that area. God, we ask for your wisdom and your direction and your help. Lord, several lifted their hands and said that you spoke to them, that they've identified something, you revealed something to them in their life. You know the need. Pray that you would just work in their lives. God, they were so gracious and humble enough to lift their hands and said, I have a need. Father, would you help them meet that need? Lord, do a special work in their heart and their lives that only you can do. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the joy to serve. Lord, I'm not worthy. Father, I don't even understand why you would call us. But Lord, we are grateful and we are thankful. Lord, help us to walk worthy of our vocation that you've called us to be in. Lord, help us as we move forward to declare the gospel in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Glad to have you here on Sunday night. Amen. Amen, brother. God bless you.